Hello and welcome back to Patriots Preview, everyone. I am Nicholas and alongside me is my brother James, and we are going to break down the week three matchup for the New England Patriots against the new Las Vegas Raiders happening this Sunday, 1 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. Let's get into it.
All right, so let's start off looking back at the last week where, well, at least the last week for the Raiders, because we already broke down the Patriots last week on our last episode, little shameless plug to our own show. The Raiders beat the Saints 34-24 on Monday Night Football in a win that I don't think a lot of people saw coming, but honestly, it was a good, honest win by the Raiders in their second game that they've won with exactly 34 points, strangely enough.
Yeah, I think some of this could be chalked up to the Saints not looking great. Nonetheless, the Raiders still get the win. Derek Carr going 28 for 38, and 384 yards, adding three touchdowns and zero interceptions. He actually completed passes to 11 different receivers, but Darren Waller had the majority of those receptions with a total of 13, and the next closest receiver only had three, and then a couple guys, one and two. The Raiders also added on the ground game with 35 rushes for just over 100 yards. I think it was like 110-ish, 112 maybe. So that being said, not as tough a matchup, obviously, as the Seahawks, who are probably one of, if not the best team in the NFL right now. I realize kind of that's a big statement. But maybe you want to talk about some keys for the Patriots, James. We got some news today that we can dive into right now.
Yeah, so a big thing is going to be David Andrews is just kind of came out as news, is expected to miss at very least this week, if not more time, after undergoing surgery on a broken knuckle in his thumb, I believe, is what I saw. I don't really know the exact details. It's all very new, but he's underwent surgery on his hand. So he is going to be out at least for this matchup against the Raiders, if not additional time. If he ends up on the injured reserve, he has to miss three more weeks, which would lead him to week six, which is our bye week. So he'd be back and we wouldn't have him until week seven. So definitely don't want him to end up on IR, but obviously needs to take the time to get healthy because he already, you know, missed an entire season last season. So we're hoping that he can just be healthy for as much time as possible. This year, he's made a big impact in the couple of weeks that he's been here already, and hoping that he can come back quickly, because it is going to take a big toll being, you know, the center on a very strong offensive line that's been really, really important in this run game that we've seen from the Patriots so far.
Yeah, Cam Newton finally showing up last week, showing the world that he still does, in fact, have an arm and not just two legs. And I think that's huge. Teams saw how lethal, I guess, he was through the air against a Seattle secondary that actually played pretty well as opposed to the first week, which we talked about. But now, you know, this mixes it up for teams a little bit more. They have to be wary of the run as well as kind of a deeper passing game now. So that can be good to keep the defense on their toes. That being said, I don't know a whole lot about the Las Vegas Raiders, so I'm hoping, James, you can take the reins here for most of it like you usually do for the football. But how are they against kind of run versus pass offense?
I'm not entirely sure. It's hard to tell because you play a team like the Saints last week that has just such a dynamic passing and running offense. Granted, they are missing Michael Thomas, so doing a lot through Alvin Kamara last week. But I mean, Alvin Kamara is just kind of a one-off where he's so good. He is an anomaly in that sense where, like, I don't think you can really accurately compare it. So, I mean, they were good. They were very good at keeping the Saints in neutral territory for a lot of the games. You only saw, you know, one field goal, a couple of touchdowns from Breeze, who didn't really have a great game in general. Alvin Kamara adding a little bit more on the ground. But I think that's going to be huge is if the Patriots can't establish their run game like they did in Seattle, it's going to be a matter of going back to the air for Cam Newton. And I think that you brought up a good point with the balance a little bit more in week two, where Cam Newton was throwing a lot more than he did in week one, where he seemed to run it all the time. But it just makes him that more of an option and that more lethal coming out of the, you know, from the quarterback position. He can throw it as far as he wants to. He can run it. You never know. And you kind of have to play You'll probably see a lot of QB spies, if I had to guess. I'm getting a little technical on you, but basically leaving one defender to always check where Cam Newton's going. So if he's going to run it, it's that guy's job to track him down. If he's going to throw it, it's just that guy's job to apply pressure. But I do think it's going to be very interesting to see if the Pats can get the run game going, because obviously they ran all over Miami. Granted, I do think Vegas has a bit better of a defense, but it'll just be interesting to see. I would like to see the run game get going. It's funny. We see it in week one. I say we want to get the passing game in week two. We see the passing game in week two. I want to get the running game in week three. I just want to get to a point where we have a balanced attack. And obviously, you're going to have to cater a bit here and there to different defenses, different schemes, whatever the thing is. But I just think that it was a very disappointing showing for the run game last week in terms of Sony Michel couldn't really get it going, you know, obviously missing James White for personal reasons. Rex Burkhead couldn't get a lot going on the ground. It's just we need to have that balanced attack, because I think our problems are going to be when we're forced to do one thing or the other, when we're forced to run it because the passing game isn't going well, or forced to pass it because the run game isn't going well. I think we need to find that balance, and I think Las Vegas will be a very good test because it's not an incredible team, but they're a very competent team, so we'll kind of see if the Patriots can figure it out. Obviously, Bill Belichick, known for playing the first four games of a season like preseason anyways, in a season that doesn't even have preseason to begin with, so I don't think we're going to see our final form Patriots for in a couple of weeks, but I do think that this is a big game, and could just every week it's like a little bit more learning about what this Patriots team is going to be.
Yeah, I want to go back and kind of you touched on the rushing game there. Obviously, Seattle having a much better defense than a lot of the other defenses in the leagues. And, you know, as we talked about on the main show on Tuesday, it did kind of come down to that goal line stand. We were stopped, whatever. Let's not forget, though, that Cam Newton also rushed for two touchdowns in the Seattle game as well. I think that brings him to four total on the year already.
Yeah.
Two in the first game, two in the second. But really nothing going for the other backs for the Patriots. I wanted to touch once again on Rex Burkhead, who a couple of attempts last week, six attempts actually, only going for two total yards. So he was sacked, or not sacked, taken down behind the line for a loss a couple of times. But adding four receptions as well, I think someone that didn't get used as much maybe when Tom Brady was here, but Cam Newton, you know, really actually found some receivers that we aren't super used to seeing a whole lot. Edelman obviously leading the way with eight receptions, but N'Keal Harry also adding eight receptions, Burkhead with four, and what's Bird's first name? I can't remember.
I think it's Demir.
Demir Bird also adding six receptions as well. So, you know, again, if the run game's not working, it's kind of nice to know that we do have this passing ability. I also, about the Raiders, I want to say maybe we're overthinking this a little too much, because they did beat a very, or what is supposed to be a very good Saints game. Maybe the Saints just having an off day, but the Raiders really are not that good, and it shouldn't be too much of a hassle for the Patriots to either carve them up through the air or rush it well on the ground.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point with that. I mean, they played the Panthers week one, who aren't incredible either, but you know, they're 2-0 and we're not 2-0, so they earned some respect there. But another thing you brought up was kind of passing to the running backs, which is something that you don't see New England do a ton, at least historically. Obviously, James White probably being our best receiving back, and with him gone last week, and I don't know exactly how long he's gonna be gone for, and honestly he deserves to take as much personal time as he needs considering everything that's happened, but he's another guy that I really like, would like to see get involved, him, Burkhead, and using them as passing options, where you know you don't see the Pats do it a ton, but they can be really, really great in the passing game. You talk about Rex Burkhead adding a lot through the air, and just it's another weapon on this offense. It's another kind of, you know, level of this offense where if we're not killing you in the QB game from running and passing as QBs, and you know the wide receivers aren't doing it, or the tight end, then you get the backs going and just kind of build on everything. It's just another level in this offense that I think definitely we could see more from. And I think you bring up a great point with Rex Burkhead. He didn't see a lot of action the last couple of years that he's been here, but I would say he's kind of known as like a, you know, a third down back or a short yardage back when we get into the red zone or whatever, but I really like his game when we see him play. He has a lot of, you know, he can break away, he can get some yards, so I think he's a guy that maybe we can look to get going in this game. You never really know what Bill's plan is, and you never really know who's going to be the star of the game from week to week. That's always something with the Patriots, is you never know who it's going to be, but it seems like every single week it's a new guy stepping up and doing something, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail perfectly on the head there. The Patriots, very well known for taking someone who you have never heard of, and maybe this week, you know, that guy will put up 2 touchdowns and 100 yards on you. It's just the ability of them to kind of create something out of nothing, in a sense. Obviously, these guys are all pro football players and add some value to the teams they're on, but it just seems like historically the Patriots just have so many ways to beat you, even if it's someone you never expect. And maybe just real quick here, we'll go big picture, looking at the NFL as a whole, because I think kind of these receiving backs is almost becoming a norm. You see it, probably the biggest example being Alvin Kamara. But then you have guys like Christian McCaffrey, also a back, also gets a lot of passes thrown to him. The Raiders even have a guy, is it Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs, yep.
Yep, who their main running back, but also will catch passes out of the backfield, having 3 receptions last week against the Saints. So I think a guy like a James White who can come out of the backfield, obviously probably not having him for this week, or Rex Burkhead, who has the ability to run the ball and also catch passes out of the backfield, is becoming kind of the norm in the NFL. I know I probably missed a ton of guys that do the same thing. Kamara and McCaffrey were just two of the biggest that popped into my head.
Yeah, I would say obviously McCaffrey comes to mind. He got paid so much because you're basically paying a running back and a wide receiver at the same time. Like that dude is on the field like 99.something% of snaps. It's incredible. That dude is out there all game long, and he can do as much to you on the ground as he can through the air. Other notable guys, you know, Aaron Jones has a decent... A lot of it's kind of like check down stuff where it's a couple yard pass, but they're just such playmakers that they turn a, you know, a 2 yard pass over the middle into a 75 yard touchdown. So, and yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I'm sure there's a ton of other, you know, backs. Dalvin Cook, you see it a lot in Minnesota too, with a lot of play action check downs and stuff. But I think another thing you brought up is Josh Jacobs. He's going to be a big guy to focus on this weekend. And what I have here, kind of taking a step back, is that I think one of my biggest goals is going to be shutting down Darren Waller. That's always a Patriots approach, is find your best player and take him out of the game. Play 10 on 10, play 9 on 10 if it means taking the best guy out of the game. You always see Bill Belichick do that week in and week out. You always find the strongest guy and you make him a non-factor. And that's going to be very hard with a guy like Darren Waller, who's just so good. Very young, very talented, though. You know, what do you have, 13 receptions last
actually,
week?
Correction to earlier, he had 12. I typed it in.
12 receptions.
For 105 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, so granted, he carried my fantasy team to a very narrow victory last week. That's besides the point. I think we need to take him out of the game. That leaves a lot on Josh Jacobs, who can kill you on the ground. He can kill you through the air. But I think that Waller just brings such a presence that it needs to be minimized if the Patriots want to succeed. And I think you take out Waller and just see what Josh Jacobs can do to you. If you look back at Josh Jacobs' last game against the Saints, he really didn't do a whole lot. I think he averaged 3.3 yards. Granted, he had 27 carries, but, you know, force him to play a really great game of football, and that's what it's going to come down to. If someone outplays you, someone outplayed you, and that's whatever. But I think, you know, I think force Josh Jacobs to make big plays is going to be my kind of key for this game. And then taking a step even farther back of the defense, just look for the secondary to kind of get their legs back under him. I'm not looking for a shutout, just something coming off of a very bad defensive effort against the Seahawks. You saw
just don't allow 5 touchdowns again through.
Yeah, I mean, but we talked about this on the last episode as well, where like a couple of them were, you know, Stephon Gilmore against DK Metcalf. Almost any other receiver in the league, Stephon Gilmore makes that play, but just DK Metcalf's that good. I think it was David Moore in the corner hitting the pylon and barely getting his feet in against Jason McCourty. Like, most other players aren't going to make that play, so I think it's safe to say that it probably won't happen again versus the Raiders, but just kind of look for them to kind of get their legs back onto them, get back into the swing of things coming off a tough loss.
Yeah, I was going to say, you touched on shutting down Darren Waller, and I think it's something we saw kind of with DK Metcalf last week. He was matched up with Gilmore most of the game, if I remember correctly. So something of a similar approach here, probably, and Darren Waller not being nearly what DK Metcalf,
In terms of size, they're basically the same, like tight end versus just DK Metcalf being DK Metcalf, who's huge, but... It'll be interesting.
In terms of skill, though, I think Metcalf, he's got to be a little bit faster, maybe, and better hands.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about Darren Waller.
And you also think about it, like, with a tight end, they're going to be blocking on plays, so that kind of takes him out of the game. Whereas DK Metcalf, every play is in the game, he's going to be running downfield. You kind of block on run plays if you're a receiver, but not nearly as much like a tight end would right on the line.
Yeah, so I think probably a similar approach by the Patriots throwing Stephon Gilmore. Well, I guess, would Stephon Gilmore even cover a tight end? That doesn't make any sense.
No, you would.
As long as, like, it's not...
You might even double him up, honestly. You might just bring out, like, a linebacker to get him over the, you know, over the middle and stuff, and then bring in Gilmore as a second, or even bring a safety in.
What I'm trying to get at here is basically, we saw Gilmore on Metcalf a lot, one of the main threats of a very good Seattle team. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a similar approach here to what is clearly the main threat in Darren Waller through the air for the Raiders. That was a very convoluted way of trying to speak those two sentences.
Yeah, and I just also looked this up. You mentioned the Patriots just find random guys you've never heard of to beat you. Yeah, and that reminded me of this guy who you might not even remember by the name of Jonas Gray. Does that name ring a bell?
No, not even a little bit.
So yeah, he ran for 200 yards against the Colts a couple of years ago. Just so you know.
Yeah, so I feel like it's something different every week, which is just speaks a lot to, I think, the coaching staff and just how good this Patriots team is always, even if you don't realize it. Like, a lot of skepticism going into this year, obviously, with Cam Newton. But we just still have the ability to, like I said, turn nothing into something, essentially, and just hit you so many different ways. I think you brought up a great point. Look for the defense to kind of gain some confidence back. Look for maybe some big defensive plays. I mean, that pick six was phenomenal last week. Just kind of, it like...
Basically the only defensive highlight all game long.
One of the first plays of the game, and kind of went downhill from there. But I, you know, seeing maybe grabbing a fumble, another interception or two would be just go a long way, I think, to restoring some of the confidence in what was, like you said, a pretty poor defensive effort last week.
Yeah, I think even then, like, just keeping it to a low score. Like, I would love a big win this week. Like, I would love the Patriots putting up 30-something, 40-something, and then the Raiders putting up 10. I would absolutely love that. Do I think we're going to get it? No. Especially with a lot of a running approach, like, I think with Belichick and Cam Newton, you don't get to this point where it's like, all right, we're up by 30, let's go score again. Like, you have the run game to control the ball for 5 minutes, burn the clock, and then punt it. Like, I don't think we're going to see a lot of huge blowouts this week, but at the same time, I can only hope for one with the Patriots being on the winning end of it.
Yeah, I think we can maybe move into the scores prediction now if you don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, I guess we'll quickly throw this in there beforehand. The Patriots are 5.5-point, that's very confusing, 5.5-point favorites, and the over-under for the total points this game is set at 47. If you gamble, I don't do that because I can't in certain states, and also I don't like betting on my own team.
No, done it with the Red
Sox.
Yeah, I don't
bad news.
Bet I try to not bet on my own teams. That being said, the Patriots being 5.5-point favorites, I think that's
generous, honestly.
I was gonna say it was a pretty good bet, but the under over obviously being pretty low for a football game. There aren't many lower ones this week. Maybe the Bengals and the Browns. No, they already played.
Whoever the Jets are playing or something. You know, one of those teams.
Actually, the Texans and Steelers is 45, but most of them are upwards. Actually, a lot of low ones this week, except for the Cowboys, Seahawks, set at 57.
Wow.
That being said, it looks like in terms of just the sports books now, that just means like where people's minds are at in general. That's not like a solid stat to go off of. This is just what people think is going to happen.
Yep.
Looking like a pretty low scoring game. So with that being said, James, you want to give your prediction?
My prediction is that the Las Vegas Raiders, for the first time all season, will not score 34 points. I'm going to go... I feel weird making
more
predictions.
More than 34 points.
No. I'm going to say like the Patriots...
35.
Nah, Patriots score 35, they score 34. Nah. I'm going to go Patriots 28, Raiders 17.
I literally was just thinking that score. I'm not even kidding.
I stole it, so now you have to come up with a different one.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to keep the Raiders at 17, but I'm going to say the Patriots only put up 24.
Wow. All right, well, you stole my prediction. That's cool. Anyway,
I think Jacobs gets one on the ground. Derek Carr passes for a touchdown. They get a field goal. And I think Cam Newton here. This all. So if I basically stole your score, I'll lay out exactly what's going to happen.
Additional.
Cam Newton's going to score two. He's going to throw to
two on the ground. You mean?
Yeah. Two on the ground for Cam Newton. He's going to throw to N'Keal Harry for one. That leaves us with a field goal. And then Jacobs is going to put one in on the ground. Carr's going to throw one to someone. I don't know enough about the receivers to know. And then they're going to add a field goal.
Wow, that was a very in-depth breakdown. I was going
to
say...
Tune in next week to see how long that was.
You bring up Cam Newton. I really want to quickly bring this up at the end here. Talk about Cam Newton rushing in to more on the ground. So I think as of last week, Cam Newton and Mark Ingram, noted now Baltimore Ravens running back, was formerly on the Saints, were drafted both in 2011. Cam Newton is the first overall, and then I don't know exactly when Ingram was drafted. I think he was also first round.
I can double check real quick.
Cam Newton has more rushing touchdowns than him. Drafted the same year. One's a quarterback, one's a running back. Both very good. Cam Newton officially has more rushing touchdowns than Mark Ingram, I believe, since they were drafted in 2011.
Yeah, 2011. Mark Ingram was the 28th overall pick.
Okay. But yeah, I do agree with you, Cam. Probably adding at least one through the ground. I swear, if we see that goal line formation one more time, I might boot the TV out a window. But
yeah, two for Cam on the ground may have been generous, but
I still think they do it. I think they love that formation to death a little too much.
I mean,
one play too much.
I don't want to like keep going on and on here at the end, but it's so easy. Just like if you're inside the five yard line, to just let Cam Newton do his thing.
You literally just watch. Like he's such an intelligent runner. He just knows. He looks for the gaps. He finds them, and he can get there.
Yeah. If you're not scoring from the 15 yard line out, why not give it at least a shot? You know. That being said, do you have anything you want to say before we close it out here?
Not really. I just want the Patriots to win a game. Or win this game. They've already won one, but I want them to win more than one. So let's win two.
Let's go for 2-1. That being said, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. I think this little preview episode is something great and something we are going to continue to push out as long as you guys like it. That being said, leave a review, leave some sort of feedback, leave us anything, something to think about. Let us know what we can do better. If you want to keep up with us outside of the podcast, you can follow our Instagram, Brady Bros Boston. Our YouTube is Brady Bros. My Twitter is Brady Bros Nick. James is James_B_Boston. And yeah, we will see you on Tuesday.